Hey everybody, this is B. Sal of the Vault of Horror here, and this is the Vaultcast, and the first installment of a little series that I like to call Conversations in the Dark. And of course, what better first guest to have here in the Vaultcast than BJC of Day of the Woman. How are you doing?
I am doing absolutely fantastic.
Now, BJ's site, as you probably know, is dayofwoman.com, and it's mainly, although not slavishly, but mainly about women in horror movies, correct?
That it is. When I first started, it was completely and totally only about women in horror films, but then I realized I was kind of excluding the male audience, and I didn't want to do that. So now it still has the feminine edge because it's being written by a 19-year-old beauty queen, but there are topics from time to time that jump up that are very, very female-centered. So the blog still has the little feminine heart to it.
Terrific. And so basically, I guess what I want to talk about today is the whole women in horror thing, since that's your bag, that's your little corner of the horror universe.
Stick.
Right. So, for example, I mean, the title of your blog, Day of the Woman, right? I mean, that's probably the most...
For the name of my blog, as well as my awesome banner of Camille Keaton's bootay. But it's also a huge part of why I love horror films. When I first saw it, I was really young, and, you know, I was so used to seeing these male slashers just, you know, ripping people to pieces, or Vincent Price just being the debonair horror fiend that he is. And then out of nowhere comes this very pretty, very small girl who just gets completely just kicked the crap out of and raped and for, what is it, 26 minutes just completely tore apart. And instead of being defeated and, you know, crying and slitting her wrists and hating her life, you know, she gets her revenge and she just comes after her, the people who screwed with her, and she rips them to shreds, and in some cases she literally rips them to shreds and rips things off of them. And I remember watching it and just going, oh my God, I never thought that a woman could actually, you know, do this. I thought I was still in the mindset, you know, that we all had to be like little Betty Homemakers. And that film really opened my eyes to not just, you know, horror films. Kind of sick to think about. That's the film that made me kind of little feminist in a way, but it really did. And it really opened my eyes to, you know, like, we don't have to be these weak and defeated people. Like, we can just go out there and just kick as much ass as the rest of the world. And especially in the horror genre, like, we don't have to be, you know, final girls. We don't have to be victims. You know, we can be just as malicious and just as crazy. And it was really awesome and really inspiring to see that. And the film will always hold a special place in my heart.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, that is a movie that I would personally, I would call a feminist horror movie. A lot of times movies will get that tag and they don't deserve it, you know, or just, it, I think people
like
are just,
Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, because I think people are just are misguided as to what, you know, it really means to call a movie a feminist movie. I mean, if, you know, if Jennifer's Body is a feminist movie, I mean, that's just a frightening thought, because it's based, I mean, to me, I could be wrong. Look, I'm a guy. Maybe I'm all wrong, but...
Well, the one defense I will give Jennifer's Body is because, you know, feminism has evolved. Feminism used to be that, you know, women weren't to be these objects. We are supposed to be these, you know, powerful and empowering, like, I am woman, hear me roar kind of thing. But, you know, it's evolved to where women can be aware of the fact that we are objectified. Like, no matter how much we say rawr and I am woman and things of that sort, people are still going to objectify us. But if you use that to your advantage, then it's still feminist. And that's what Jennifer's Body does. She's well aware that, you know, her sexual prowess is going to give her attention to where she can seduce men and then eat them. So it still has a feminine touch to it. It's more of like a new age feminist look to it. So that's the one defense I will give it. I will not defend the quality of the film, though.
Well, you know, I actually liked it. I thought it was fun. I mean, it's not like, you know, I wouldn't call it one of the best of the year or anything like that, but it was a lot of fun. It was a decent hour and a half or whatever.
Right, I liked it. It was entertaining, but I can't take Megan Fox seriously. I just can't do it.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, okay, Day of the Woman, I get it. You know, it's, you know, she's kind of taking back her body, and she's turning the tables on, you know, these people that tried to destroy her and objectify her and, you know, do all these horrible things. The thing about Jennifer's body is basically she is the ultimate embodiment of what every historically, you know, man-hating culture has ever portrayed women to be. You know, she is Lilith. She is, you know, the whole thing about boxers not messing around with women before a fight because they sap your energy. You know, all that superstition about women just sapping a man's energy and being able to consume a man. It basically...
And she completely...
Yes.
Embodies it, because not only does she reel you in, she does make you lose focus, but then she literally eats you.
It feeds right into it. You know, that's...
Right.
Pardon the expression there. But, right. So, I mean, other than Day of the Woman, and, you know, we talked a little about Jennifer's body. What do you think is kind of another good example of a truly feminist horror movie?
A truly feminist horror movie?
In your opinion.
In my opinion. That's actually really hard, because it depends on how you look at it. You know, there are some people that like to think that anything with a final girl can be, you know, a feminist film, like Alien or Halloween or
Nightmare on Elm Street,
right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, there's all these characters that are just getting whacked off every chance you get, but there's this one girl who kind of exemplifies what it is to be, you know, pure and wonderful and the ray of hope and the, you know, the complete opposite of what this killer is, and it's always a girl. So, in a sense, like, I guess you can read them as feminist. Actually, you can, like, but in my personal opinion, I try not to classify them as, you know, feminist horror films, because they're not really about that. Like, when you watch Halloween, you're not watching it to find some deep meaning as to why Laurie Strode is such an empowering figure. You're like, girl, run! He's gonna kill you! Like,
Well, I wasn't like that.
Well, exactly. When I first went into it, I was, oh my god, Michael Myers is horrifying. It wasn't, oh wow, she's an empowering female figure, and I'm really excited that she's surviving this. Like, that's just not what people think when they see that movie.
Right.
And that's not what, honestly, unless you're extremely analytical and you just completely dissect films rather than enjoy them, no one sees that when they watch, you know, the final girl type films.
But I'll tell you, the one I do see that, though, it kind of always hits me in the face every time I watch it, and you mentioned it just before, though, is A Nightmare on Elm Street, because, like, in that one, I really think it was a very conscious thing.
See, that's a different story.
Yeah, because, like, you know, her boyfriend is useless. I mean, you know, Glenn is just...
He gets sucked into a bed, you weirdo.
He's just a waste, you know. She's way more with it than he is, and she comes up with all these, like, survivalists.
She figures it out. Yeah, Nancy Thompson is probably, like, a lot of people give, you know, Laurie Strode the, she is the final girl. I see Nancy Thompson as more of a final girl than, Laurie is, because Laurie, she lucked out. She ran, she hid, and she did basic survival instincts, and she got lucky.
Right.
Nancy, on the other hand.
Very proactive.
Right. Nancy, on the other hand, she plotted. She figured things out. She tried to make sure she could have everything as possible. She knew exactly what she needed to do to survive, whether it was not sleep or if it was to, you know, pull him out, you whack the fucker and you got him. Like, it depends on the way you read the films. And I always have read Nancy as more of a feminist character than Laurie.
Well, now let's say, I mean, talking about this whole final girl thing, I remember a while back there was that Canadian radio show that you were supposed to be on, Let the Record State, and they dropped the ball. But they did have Jovanka on from Rue Morgue at the time, for Rue Morgue magazine, and it was interesting to me. I'm assuming you listened to that. Did you hear any of
Yeah,
that
I
when she was
listened to
on?
it.
Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, Canadian National Public Radio did this the thing about Jennifer's Body when it came out, and they talked about part of it was the phenomenon of the final girl and Jovanka Vukovic, or from at the time editor of Rue Morgue magazine, was the guest, and they brought up the whole final girl thing, and it seemed to me like the hostess of the show, female, the hostess, had no real familiarity with horror, and when the whole concept came up that slasher movies actually can be very empowering for women, she kind of laughed it off in disbelief, and I thought it was pretty ignorant. Like, she really didn't, she was really out of touch with what I think these movies are all about. I mean, did you find that at all?
I just feel that when people don't put their heart and soul into anything, not just horror, but anything, they don't fully understand it. There's really no getting through to them. And then there are people that do put their heart and soul to it, but I think they do it for the wrong reasons. And
But
then
she seemed very skeptical that movies like Friday the 13th or Alien or Halloween or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre could actually be pro-woman. You know, she was taking the
well, it's the
very.
same thing that why people can't look at, these slasher films and see them as, their passion plays. They are ex like they're treating or teaching us the way to live the exact same way, the Passion of the Christ is. And people get shocked in disbelief when I bring up that point. I'll say, who died in the Passion of the Christ? The sinners, the adulterers, the crooks, who dies in, Halloween or Friday the 13th? The whores, the bad kids, who survives? The good people, the virgins, the pure people. It's an exact lineup, and a lot of people don't like to read into horror films because for some reason they think that because we've got a hell of a lot of corn syrup and latex that there can't be any hidden meanings, and there is. There's hidden meanings in everything, and you really need to, look into it. You don't have to, i.e., like I choose not to when I watch, films with final girls, but I know that it's there. Like I'm aware of it. I just choose not to analyze certain things when I watch it unless I'm in an analytical mood.
Yeah, and I think that people who aren't really horror movie fans or lovers of that genre, they kind of laugh it off in a way. And you know what? I came up across a lot of that when I was in the wrestling business. Just like I got a lot of respect for what those guys do when I worked there. And you know, people won't take it seriously who don't take the time to really learn about it, and they just think it's just silliness and these guys are just a bunch of clowns.
Right.
But it's the same thing with those movies, like people that generally don't watch horror movies or who don't really know too much about what's going on in that world, they tend to make this paint, they tend to just broad stroke the whole thing and just think that it's clearly misogynistic all the time. And while I think that is an element, it's not really the way that I think a lot of mainstream non-horror fans tend to think, you know.
Well, the perfect example I can give is the film Teeth. I make my friends sit through it all the time, not because I want them to, get the meaning behind it, but because I know that it's going to trigger some things with college kids. There's a lot of sex, there's a lot of, dick chopping, and it's very funny. And it's one of the films I use as a gateway to get my friends into like horror films. But when people watch it, all they see is her vagina has teeth. Her vagina has teeth. And they completely forget the entire scene where the science teacher is talking about adapting and how our bodies over time can adapt to certain environments. How, animals will shed fur, like their species will shed fur over time because they've evolved to understand, like, it's too hot here to have this hair. And they talk about it. And there's the entire scene where she looks it up online, and this was her body's way of evolving to protect her from, the crazy male species. And it's a very empowering film because not only does her body protect her literally, but then she learns to control it and use it to her advantage.
Well, it's
And
yeah.
all they see when they watch it is dick chop, dick chop, dick chop. And I'm like, no, like it's empowering. And they're like, how is it empowering? Her vagina eats people. And I'm like, well, you're not thinking.
Well, it kind of turns that whole concept on its head a little bit. I will say that. I mean, I'm not sure how to take it, honestly. I don't know. I mean, really, maybe it's because I'm coming at it from the other side. But here's the thing. It's like it's the classic, the vagina dentata is kind of like the ultimate. It's the ultimate though.
That scares
Theory, but
every man.
well,
Every
no.
time that I will watch that film and laugh hysterically
But
at
see,
it,
but
and
see.
every guy will cringe and hide. They're like, "Oh my
Well,
God."
I'll tell you because it's the ultimate woman-hating philosophy. You know that goes back to Freud of this Freudian idea that men are supposedly primordially afraid of women because they don't really understand, especially going back to prehistoric times, they don't really understand what goes on with their bodies and how their bodies create life and the being this whole mysterious thing. And there was this fear of exactly that. I mean, it's not rationally, but somewhere underneath this fear that that's going to happen to you. You know what I mean? And that movie, on the surface, while it seems to sort of be playing right into that, I do see what you're saying. It kind of turns it on its ear, and instead of making her like this monster, it almost makes it positive for her in a bizarre way. It's really I don't know. I'm not quite sure where I stand on it, but I do see how they try to kind of turn it around the other way.
Well, the ending of it makes her into a monster. I think there's just a lot of trans, or I can't think of the word I'm trying to give. There's a lot of, I guess I could use evolution. She evolves from being like, completely submissive to absolutely everything to being completely domineering and completely owning everything, and then to the point where she's just a monster. And I love it.
But
But another thing that I'm thinking about while it's in my head is that this is one of the few films where, the woman's weapon is a more feminine thing, I guess. When I did a post on, how feminism does exist in horror films, somebody pointed out about how, well, in horror films, women's weapons are always, such phallic objects like knives and baseball bats. And I'm like,
what
what
else are
are
you
they
going to
supposed to use? Like, our society has just made weapons and things of power and things of fear into phallic objects. Clearly, we had some ill-equipped men when they were designing things, because personally, I think a big giant, saw-like contraption with fangs would have been a lot scarier than a baseball bat. But people always try to point out these things about how they look at it like a Freudian aspect about how, like, even these final girls are secretly trying to be men. And I'm like, no, they're not. There's just nothing to use. What do you want people to, is, are we really going to kill Michael Myers with a purse? Really? Like, he didn't stop when you put a coat hanger in his eyeball. I highly doubt he's going to care about your little Gucci purse that could fit a dog in it. He's going to throw it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, what are they supposed to use? I mean, like a sink drain or something. I don't know what would make these people happy. Although maybe like a snub-nosed gun. I'm not sure, but
Mean, we have a face hugger. That's really all we got.
it's which, by the way, was specifically
Was
designed
specifically
that
to
way,
look like a vagina.
because H.R. Geiger is just obsessed with genitalia,
I
and.
know, he's like Georgia O'Keefe of the horror world.
Well, I mean, look at the alien itself. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's almost embarrassing. It is literally almost embarrassing. We're so used to it now, but like, if you watch the original Alien, there's some scenes where if you freeze frame the DVD,
Oh, it looks, yeah.
it's terrifying. Like, I get embarrassed watching it with some people because I'm like, are they gonna notice what this thing's head looks like the way I'm noticing it? I mean, it's really blatant.
Well, one of my favorite things, one of my friends named Kyle, who is super fantastic, gay, and amazing,
Well, he must love it.
somebody asked him one day, they said, "Kyle, what made you gay? Like, what made you decide to be gay?" Which is probably the worst question you could ever
Nice.
ask somebody. But his reply was, "I've seen Alien." It's the greatest thing I've ever
Yeah,
heard.
but now look, now okay. But how about this though, for something to end it on, because we could go on like this all day talking about this
Right,
kind of
but we're
thing,
a bunch
but.
of windbags and no one wants to listen
Yeah,
to
just about Freudian, theories of
us.
vaginas and whatever. But no, the thing here though, what about this? You've got the alien, right? And we've talked about what that thing looks like. And Sigourney Weaver, who to my mind is the, you want to talk about the final girl? That's the final girl right there. And think about it. What is she battling at the end of the movie? She is battling a giant,
Well, the
penis.
thing that always true, the thing that
No, really.
always,
I mean,
gets to
that's
me
what it
is
comes
that
down to.
Ripley's character was written without a sex.
Yes, actually, written to be. I think originally written was it. Was it written to be a man, or was it just written with no
It was
gender in mind?
written with no gender.
Okay.
So then you, it, God, Dan O'Bannon, why did you have to die? Like, we have so many questions. But yeah, Ripley was written without a sex. So then it's like, how different would that film have been if Ripley was, say, a catchphraseless Bruce Campbell, just like this completely man-man? Like, it would have been a completely different story as far as like analyzing it. But
It changed the whole thing.
oh yeah. But yeah, Ripley, I believe, is the final girl, and she's just, there is so much sexual nature of that film. It's just
Well,
out of this
even
world.
the final confrontation, okay, she's literally naked. She actually strips down to nothing and fights a giant phallus, okay? I mean, I don't know how more blatant you could get than that. It's pretty insane, but that to me is the ultimate final girl movie. I know a lot of people don't even really, it doesn't register that way to them, maybe because it's on a spaceship and
It's not in
it's not
some
a bunch of,
neighborhood and she's not in high
yeah,
school.
they're not a bunch of teenagers. And I mean, like, it's right after Halloween, which is a very different kind of final girl, and it's before Nightmare on Elm Street. And to me, like, that's your ultimate female action hero. I don't, that had never been done before. That was huge.
And there are people who to this day will say that, she is the best sci-fi character since like Star Wars.
Well, yeah, maybe
Well, that's a
even,
completely different ball game. I'm
yeah.
saying since then, not better than, since then.
No, you know what? I think maybe, I mean, look, if you think about the way her character is written, Alien is such a different kind of science fiction movie than Star Wars. Star Wars is like a popcorn movie. Alien is a really like kind of old school science fiction movie, like
Oh
Forbidden
yeah.
Planet kind of thing. And the characters there are much better written, you got to say, especially Ripley, but all of them much better written and much better acted, hate to say it, than anything
I
you're
hate
going
to
to
say it
find in
too,
Star
but
Wars.
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole rant for another day. Like, people will get them. Like, my wife freaks out over this because she knows I've always been a Star Wars fanatic. And like, in recent years, I've really been losing more and more of my high opinion of those movies as I get older. It's kind of depressing in a way. Like, I can go off on a whole. That's for a whole other show. I think they're a lot of fun, but the respect that I had for them as a kid and even as a teenager and as I get older, of just being like the be all and end all. Like, I don't know. I just can't look at them that way anymore. I kind of, I don't know. The shine is off of them for me for a lot of reasons. Like I said, has nothing to do with what we're talking about, and I could go off and do a whole other show about that one day. But
It actually, I can make it relate to the topic, because it does happen with, a lot of horror characters as well. I personally think that we lose the shine for a lot of things that we love after it's been parodied up the yin yang for so long. Like, I did my top 25 list, and I got so much crap for putting The Ring on the list for the top of the decade. I mean, I want to say number 7 for the top of the decade. And they're like, oh God, that movie's awful. I'm like, whoa, back up the bus, buddy. Do you remember when it came out and everyone was so freaked out about it? That's the movie that spawned America's love affair with Japanese horror.
Not only that, but it's a very important and influential movie of the decade, even if you don't
Oh
think it's one of the
yeah.
best.
And they're just like, it's not scary. I'm like, well, it's not scary anymore. I was like, when you
Right.
first saw it, it freaked the crap out of you, I guarantee you. But after, Scary Movie made her into like this weird character and how she's been parodied up, like just up crazily, of course she's gonna lose her fear. In the same sense that the only respect I have for Rob Zombie with Michael Myers is that he made him scary again, because after you've seen him, kill people in bed sheets for so long, he just loses his touch and he's not scary anymore.
Yeah, although, you know, showing him as a little boy, you know, kind of getting that his daddy's mean to him and all that kind of took a little bit of the bite away, you know.
A little bit, yeah, but seeing...
Poor little Michael, you know, it's almost like Leatherface getting now got picked on as a kid in school. I mean, yeah, give me a break.
I'm waiting for somebody to do like a Leatherface and Buffalo Bill mashup. I'm just waiting for... It's going to happen eventually.
Wow.
Weird crap people are coming up with these days, destroying our genre. What's wrong with them?
And what a perfect note, destroying our genre, to end this fine conversation on. But I think we'll probably end it there, because otherwise it's going to get so long that people are not going to want to listen to the whole thing. So,
amen.
Got to keep it short and sweet. But I want to thank you, BJC,
welcome, darling.
Yes, for being the first guest, hopefully of many more here in Conversations in the Dark, part of the Vaultcast. And again, your website, as we all know, but I will do you the courtesy, is Day of the Woman, which is dayofwoman.com. And I encourage everybody to check it out. And once again, thanks, BJ. And maybe we'll do this again sometime.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Cool.